Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 13 to close at 18,312.39, a record high close for the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, we have a celebration here at the Money Radio Megaplex. The Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. The Money Radio Symphonic Orchestra plays the celebratory theme. Doreen, our news anchor, passes out candles to the Money Radio staff. We've got Doreen, Pam, Ashley, Renee is back there today, Marcus and Kevin. Brian and RC joining us, and James is there as well, draped in the Green Bay Packers banner. I have no idea why. Glad he could make it today. Also joining us, John Barnabas from HOT, Happiness, Opportunity, and Technology. John brings some sort of a laser thing. He doesn't do the old-fashioned candles. No, he's high-tech and kind of weird. Has a laser thing, so everybody else has these candles, and there's this nice candlelight ambiance as they're lighting their candles in the control room. And John turns on the laser. Woof! Okay. Don't point it at me. And it changes colors now. And if everybody has their candles lit and you are ready, who's leading the procession? Renee. Renee is leading the procession today. And there she goes, marching out of the control room, down the hallway to the Money Radio Bistro, also known as the Break Room, where they will celebrate with milk and cookies. Today, oatmeal raisin and Oreos. Not those new kind with s'mores, just Oreos. Record high, again, 2 days in a row for the Dow Industrials, 18,312. The S&P 500 had been on a two-day record-setting binge, but today was down 1 point at 21.27. NASDAQ Composite down 8 at 5,070. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 3 basis points at 2.26%. Oil down $2.17 at $57.26 per barrel. Gold down $17.80 at $1,209 an ounce. Silver down 61 cents at $17.17. This celebration of the Dow Jones Industrial record today, well, we celebrate because you never know about these records, so you have to celebrate. And we celebrate with milk and cookies because, after all, this is a family show. And beyond that, it's just a silly old tradition. Construction starts on new U.S. homes up 20% in April to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.14 million. That's the biggest monthly percentage gain in over 24 years, highest level since November 2007. Total housing starts remain far below an average pace of about 1.5 million over the 20 years leading up to the housing bubble's 2006 peak. A board member of the European Central Bank says the ECB will front-load its asset purchases in May and June. That is, they will step up buying in those months to maintain its monthly average of $67 billion. Given an expected drop in liquidity in the summer vacation period, the policymaker also said the recent sell-off in German bonds and other sovereign bonds is not a cause for concern, but the rapidity of the move is worrying. Greek Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis told a Greek TV channel last night that Greece is very close to a deal. Other officials are less enthusiastic. European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker said this morning that there will be no agreement for Greece at this week's summit. At some point, Greece will run out of cash. Exactly when is a matter of conjecture. But even optimistic forecasts are under 60 days. Members of the ECB's governing council scheduled to meet in Frankfurt tomorrow to discuss the fate of the Greek economy. Greece is in such a precarious position that any change in central bank policy could alarm markets and have serious consequences. But the council is reportedly running out of patience and could impose stricter controls on Greek banks to maintain emergency lending protocols. Traders and investors are clearly nervous about the state of the eurozone, and the euro was down about 2% against the dollar today. Deutsche Bank, studying whether to move large chunks of its British operations to Germany if the UK leaves the EU, underlining the potential fallout in the City of London in the event of a Brexit, a British exit. The German lender, which employs some 9,000 people in the UK, is the first major bank to start formally examining the consequences of a British referendum on EU membership. The UK slipped into deflation for the first time in at least 55 years. Consumer prices slipped 0.1% year over year in the UK, marking an unexpected return to deflation. The UK has not experienced falling prices since the 1950s and 60s, but its most recent extended bout with deflation was in the 1930s during the Great Depression. Taking advantage of the lower borrowing cost in the eurozone, McDonald's and United Technologies are now the latest big U.S. companies to issue debt in euros. They're called reverse Yankee bonds. Selling 2 billion euro and 750 million euro, respectively, the total raised by U.S. companies issuing euro-denominated debt so far this year, just over 37 billion euro. More than double the previous record of 17 billion euro in 2007. Oil prices were down again today. There are several factors at play with oil prices. First, the dollar index has bounced from 93.1 on Friday up to an intraday high of 95.5 today. The old idea is dollar up, oil down, or vice versa. Next, the Saudis have been pumping out quite a bit, 7.5% more in March than February. We're about 7.9 million barrels a day. Over the weekend, Goldman Sachs issued a research report showing strong inventories combined with weak economies pushing weak demand. The rally in oil prices from $47 mid-March to $63 per barrel in early May was described as premature, and prices could drop down to around $45 by October, so says Goldman. When you look at the recent rally, it seems largely supported by sentiment. We still have massive stockpiles. Still, your guess is as good as theirs. Meanwhile, get ready for a boom in solar. Solar panel makers globally are preparing for their best year since 2011, as China and Japan take advantage of falling prices to shift more of their energy production to clean power. Panel production is forecast to grow by almost a third this year. China signed a pact with the U.S. in November to get 20% of its energy from renewable sources by 2030, with its total carbon emissions peaking the same year. To reach that goal, the Chinese government earlier this year boosted its target for 2015 solar installations to 17.8 gigawatts from about 12 gigawatts. Japan may install as much as 12.7 gigawatts of solar power this year, the most after China. The country has promoted wider use of renewable energy, especially rooftop panels, after the 2011 Fukushima nuclear plant meltdown. Cheaper solar has also made the technology more economically viable for emerging economies, such as India and South Africa. In India, developers are installing panels to replace more expensive diesel generators. The Bloomberg Global Solar Energy Index is up 65% year-to-date, and the TAN, the solar ETF, up 39% year-to-date. Founding members of the China-backed Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank will hold a three-day meeting in Singapore this week to discuss the draft articles of agreement and operational policies for the establishment of the institution. Although 57 countries have joined the AIIB as founding members, the U.S., Japan, and Canada have remained notable absentees. In a new financial industry survey, more than a third of the respondents said they witnessed or knew of wrongdoing in the workplace. Nearly half said regulators were ineffective in stopping it. The numbers are in on 2014 CEO compensation, and it does not look like the controversial income gap in America is narrowing. The average S&P 500 company CEO made 373 times the salary of the average production and non-supervisory worker in 2014. That's up from 331 times in 2013. This translates into an average CEO pay package of $22.6 million. That's up from $20.7 million last year. The Los Angeles City Council voted today to increase its minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2020 from the current $9 an hour, in what is perhaps the most significant victory so far in the national push to raise the minimum wage. Several other cities, including San Francisco, Seattle, and Oakland, have already approved increases, and dozens more are considering doing the same. The impact is likely to be particularly strong in Los Angeles, where, according to some estimates, more than 40% of the city's workforce earns less than $15 an hour. The vote could set off a wave of minimum wage increases across Southern California, and there might be national implications. Japanese airbag manufacturer Takata has agreed to the largest automotive recall in American history, declaring nearly 34 million vehicles defective due to problems with airbag inflators. The case involves airbag inflators that may deploy with too much force, breaking apart and shooting shrapnel inside the cars. Six deaths have been linked to the defective airbags. Takata faces multiple class actions in the U.S. and Canada, as well as a criminal investigation. With vehicles from 11 different automakers and a severe shortage of repair parts, it could take years for all the cars to be made safe. Busy day for earnings from retailers. Walmart drew more shoppers to its stores in the last quarter, but international sales were hurt by the stronger dollar, causing overall sales to fall. Home Depot reported quarterly profit and revenue that topped expectations. They also lifted their profit and sales targets for the year. TJX Companies posted first-quarter earnings of 69 cents per share, topping estimates of 66 cents per share, and Urban Outfitters reported first-quarter earnings and sales that came in below expectations. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, text and audio at eatthebankers.com. eatthebankers.com.